We're playing a bunch of Halloween music this morning because it's, well, coincidentally, it's Halloween. And it's Vic DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18th floor on Wacker Drive, overlooking beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. And it is Halloween, and we are right here celebrating our 21st annual Nick DiGilio Halloween Spooktacular, if you can wrap your mind around that. We got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to be playing some Halloween music, talking about some movies, great Halloween scary movies, all that good stuff that we have that we do every year. And but I wanted to welcome to the show someone who has got some connection to Halloween, considering that she was one of the stars of Ash versus Evil Dead, and loves Halloween movies, and she's the best. And I wanted to have her on the show just to have her on the show. So, because any excuse to have her on the show is great. She's a terrific actress. She's awesome, incredibly talented, and she's my future ex-wife. She's Dana DiLorenzo, and let's welcome Dana to the show. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Nick. Happy 21st anniversary, baby.
Yeah, thanks very much. I can't believe it's our 21st Halloween Spooktacular.
It is. You know what's amazing is that, like, I feel like we would have 21 years of marriage right before we got divorced. What do you think?
I think so, too.
That's the magic number.
I think it is.
I think that's a good number.
Yeah.
Should we aim for that?
Yeah, let's aim for that.
Like, just because I'm your future ex-wife doesn't mean it has to be, like, you know, under five.
No. No, absolutely.
We could do, like, a solid 21 years and be like, peace out.
That sounds good.
And then on that Halloween anniversary, then we'll make this big announcement that we're separating. It'll be perfect. We'll have a celebration. It'll be great.
That'll be awesome. So how you doing, Dana? Long time no see. I saw you last Sunday.
I know. Wow, has it been? Was it just last Sunday already?
Yeah.
Wow.
A week ago Sunday.
To see you in Chicago. And very, very cold Chicago. That is my favorite thing about Chicago is its schizophrenia with the weather. Where from when I saw you, I think it ended up being like 60 degrees that day. And before that, there were like heat lamps on. It was negative 20 waiting for the L. I love that. I actually miss that. Even though, you know, I live in L.A. and where it's, you know, 70 degrees now. And I'm like, brr, I need my heat on. I'm like, God, I do miss it. You miss it when you leave Chicago. It was so good to see you, though.
Oh, it was great. And it was awesome because it was like, you know, when you were at Flashback, I had stuff I had to do and you were at your table. So we didn't get to see a ton of each other. But we spent like a solid 6 hours together the Sunday before last. Which was nice.
Wait, were you counting? Because I wasn't even counting. I was just enjoying the moment. Were you like counting the hours so you were allowed to leave? Were you like, okay, it's like a meter. If I put in four more quarters, I only have to stay for another hour.
No, I was loving every second of it, Dana. You know that.
Okay. So. All right. Well, you're a very good liar. I had so much fun with you. Yeah. And congratulations again, because that's when I found out that you are the number one radio show.
Yeah, we do. We do well, not in the entire city, but we do well in our time slot.
Well, that's in my book. You are.
Yeah,
You're the number one. I'm so excited. Congratulations.
Well,
well deserved,
Dana. Thank you. Do you enjoy Halloween?
I do enjoy a good Halloween. Do you?
Yes, of course. It's my favorite time of year. I love the fall. It's my favorite season. And horror movies are my favorite genre. And so, yeah, this is a time when people celebrate that. You could turn on cable at any time, you know, any day, any time during this season, and there's at least 5-6 horror movies on TV.
That's true. And you know what? I forget what channel it was, but I was, like, browsing through, like, late night when I was just recently in Ohio. And Hocus Pocus was on, which... I'm sorry, that's not a horror movie, obviously, but like I swear, I just love that movie. I love it so much. And on that, whatever channel it was airing, I laughed so hard because they actually did this brilliant marketing thing where they were talking, they chose a line from Mrs. Doubtfire of like Robin Williams talking about like whenever she holds Winston, her dead husband. You know, whenever she's cold meat, she's reminded of her dead husband. And they, like, put it with this really scary music to say as if it was, like, this horror movie. And they put it with this whole different spin on it.
Yeah.
But it was Mrs. Doubtfire. And I don't know why it made me laugh so hard, but I love flipping through the channels just to see what you stumble upon, especially during Halloween.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Dana yeah. That Hocus Pocus has just had this brand new life. When it first came out, you know, it did okay. But over the years, it's one of these movies that's become like a classic, and people are constantly, you know, quoting it and watching it all the time now. It's become like a Halloween classic now.
I'm happy to hear that because, again, I'm not trying to say in any way is it like scary, but my God, it's so entertaining, and I find myself quoting it all the time, and I love the concept. And I just love, I mean, I love the whole thing. So anytime Kathleen and Jimmy and Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler, and then they're like singing, I put a spell on you.
Yeah.
And come on. It's just, I love, but also I am a little impartial because I do love my horror comedy, as you know. So, yeah. That's why I think that is a special place. But what's your, do you have like a go-to, wait, what's your word that you came up with that I asked you about when I saw you?
I'm sorry?
What's your word about a movie? What is your word
that you came up with? Remote dropper.
And explain what that is one more time.
That's if you've got the remote and you're flipping through channels going really quick and you come across a movie that it doesn't matter how far into the movie you are. You could be an hour into it, could just be starting. You immediately put the remote down because you don't need to change the channel for the rest of that movie. That's a remote dropper.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also, does it also include that it doesn't matter, even if the movie is edited for TV and like the G-rated version, that you would, is that still considered that you would still watch it no matter what?
Actually, I do. Yeah, there are several movies that I do that to, even if it's on commercial TV. And you know, when we were talking about this, a couple of weeks ago, we both mentioned how My Cousin Vinny is way near the top of that list of remote droppers.
It just is. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I think it is a perfect movie.
Yeah,
I actually do. And it's not just because, I mean, is it because we're Italian? Is everyone rolling their eyes who's listening right now? Like, yeah. I mean, I do just think it's a perfect movie. Don't you think? I mean, the quotes. Talk about one-liner.
Yeah.
Like, and I just, it just gives me an excuse to work on my Marissa Tomei impression at all times.
It's funny, it is a classic movie, and as I was, when we were talking about it, I mentioned how I had low expectations for that movie, but it does the absolute opposite of what it would have been easy to do, which is to just do New York Italian stereotype and Southern stereotype, and they're both dumb. They're both stupid. But everybody in that movie is smart, and it's about the cultural differences, and they're all intelligent, and they're all great characters, and none of them are stereotypes, and that's what I think makes that movie special.
I agree with you. I couldn't have said it better myself. And especially, I mean, that moment when Marissa Tomei is on the stand,
yeah.
She's like, no. Because it's a trick question. Because the 64, I don't find... Well, I was about to say, but I didn't say anything, did I? No. Did I almost say the word? I almost said the word.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Did I?
No, you didn't.
Are we hitting the dump?
I think you're okay.
I don't even know what word I was trying to say. But I was trying to say, it's a trick question. Because the tire tracks, when she just drops that knowledge out on the court.
Yeah.
You cheer.
Absolutely. And by the way, you do a killer Marissa Tomei. Let me just say that. So.
Oh, thank you. You want to shoot a tear? A sweet little innocent tear? I can't actually do it. I can't do it because I can't do the punchline.
No, because you can't because it's the punchline.
But, you know.
The punchline involves.
I can hear it. I get to. Because what?
Because the punchline involves the F-bomb, so you can't.
And it is, I mean, but it is such a perfect,
it is
such a perfect line.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone knows what it is.
So you, speaking of horror, which we're going to be speaking of, when I talk a little more Ash versus Evil Dead and all that other cool stuff, you just got back from a con last weekend. You went to Minnesota.
I did go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I've been working on the accent. I did. Let me tell you what, the cheese curds did not disappoint. I got very starstruck by someone in particular. I don't know if you happen to see my social media, but I got to meet Animal.
Yes.
From The Muppets. My great, like, great moment. And I know, it's true, but I, like, actually geeked out. There's a video of me geeking out. And it was, I mean, listen, I think you and I talked about this, too, in person, that I just... I love it so much. And we had such a good time, and it was such incredible people, and especially getting to see, because it's like, you know, right before, you know, Halloween, so everyone was even more dressed up than usual.
Yeah.
So I saw everyone from the, you know, from the Joker to Uncle Fester to probably one of my top two Kelly Maxwell cosplays I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Clara. And, oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, the number one just recently was this 13-year-old Gretchen, because her awesome dad actually bought my wardrobe. The wardrobe that I wore is Maxwell, bought it on eBay and gave it to us, like, got it as a gift for this 13-year-old awesome girl named Gretchen. And I was like, well, you can't top that.
Yeah.
Because you're wearing my actual wardrobe. But this girl, Clara, because, you know, purple jackets are hard to come by, Nick. They're hard to come by,
yeah,
in any form. And because they, you know, the wardrobe made them for me. They made them by hand, dyed the leather and the pleather and all the things. And so this girl, like, actually took it a step further and put, like, these great Evil Dead patches, like the deer head and the chainsaw, on like this, sewed it on this purple, beautiful suede jacket, and had the shirt that you have. The Patti Smith homage, yep, the clock,
yep,
and the frayed jeans. And she was like a beautiful blonde in real life. And that I saw the next day when she came back, because she had the black, long, like dark black wig with purple highlights from season 3. I mean, she did it up. She even had a powerful vagina pin, which I was very impressed.
Wow.
With, I have to say.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
So it was just a good time. It was a really good time. And however, there was the clown from It. And I definitely showed that I'm not a cool person in real life. I just have never liked clowns. But that clown from It traumatized me when I was 7 and accidentally watched it when I was at my grandma's.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that I like, people were thinking I was trying to be funny, but I really wasn't, because I was hiding under my table.
Because you were totally
when
freaking
that clown
out.
Walked by.
Totally freaking out.
I was totally freaking out. And people were like, oh, ha ha, because it was so, they thought it was so over the top. So I kind of, like, tried to play that. Like, oh, good. They think I'm doing this as a bit. Just go with it, because I'm not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But then soon when it walked by my table, and I immediately ran out the door and then bumped right into this person. And then they spilled their drink everywhere. And it was a whole thing, Nick. You missed it. You missed the physical comedy.
Oh,
that
no.
is my life when I'm scared.
Oh, no.
But it was really good. He was a really good, he was a very scary, scary and perfect spot on version of the, of it.
You know, so. The costumes at these conventions are, you know, cause I'm at Flashback every year, as you know. And every year I'm never ceased to be amazed at some of the costumes that they wear. By the way, I just spoke with Svengoolie, Rich Coase, and he says hi to you.
Hi. Oh, I had such a lovely time talking to him. And thank you again, Nick, for getting me to be a part of Flashback. That was all you, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
your
it was great.
Check for 10% is in the mail.
Great. No, it was great. It was great having you there, you know, and I had a fun weekend hanging out with you. That was a great
yes.
time.
So, and you got to do our panel, our little Q&A.
I did, yes.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
And you, did you get to, I think you, I feel like you got to meet my dad.
I did meet your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad's
right.
a lovely, now I understand, you just sent me a text just a little bit earlier that your dad wants to tell a Halloween joke.
Well, I listened to the joke this most recent week that your dad told for the dad joke of the week.
Yeah.
And I said it to my dad, and I was like, hey, Dad, since Nick is my future ex-husband, would you want to tell a joke? Maybe I'll see if he wants to do it as an homage to his dad.
Yeah.
And I go, do you know any jokes? And he told, you know, you remember what I said in the text I said to you? He told me the joke, and I immediately rolled my eyes and then chuckled in spite of myself.
Yeah.
Because dads,
exactly.
Because dad jokes,
exactly. Dana, hang on, okay. Yeah. We'll forget.
Okay, good. I'll go get him prepared.
All right, cool. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Okay. Dana DiLorenzo, who I adore. You know that. I love her, and she is my future ex-wife and star of Ash vs. Evil Dead. Lots of other stuff to talk about. It's Halloween. We're going to talk about some of her favorite scary movies, and we had a conversation about a week and a half ago about the impact that The Exorcist made on her. And I want to get into that conversation as well. And that's all coming up right here. And it is the Halloween Spooktacular on 720 WGN. And we will return with more right after this on 720 WGN. The rock version, rockin' version of the Munsters theme. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. It is Halloween. It is our 21st annual Halloween Spooktacular. We're going to talk about scary movies and play some clips and listen to some scary music and take your phone calls and talk about scary books and all of that cool stuff on Halloween. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. At 6 o'clock is Steve Krockenworth, your morning drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. My guest right now, though, is my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, who I adore and wanted to have her on. I want to have her on every show if that's possible, but we thought Halloween would be pretty appropriate for Dana to be on with us. Dana, welcome back.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Happy anniversary. Happy 21st.
Thank you.
Halloween anniversary.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know, I
soon to be our anniversary whenever you decide.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. You know, I mean, you already met my daddy, but the hard part's over.
So is your dad going to tell this Halloween joke?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to put it on speaker.
Okay.
Dad, my ex-husband, who you met, Nick DiGilio.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, good to hear you again. I enjoyed meeting you in Chicago. It was a great time.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, maybe I'll get to do it again next year.
Yeah, love to. Absolutely.
My dad was a big... Wait, can we just talk about my dad was a bigger hit than I was? People were, like, coming up to meet my dad. You know that was true. You know you're laughing because you know it's true. Honestly. Like, I was like, okay, Dad, just... Okay, I mean, honestly, I was the sideshow. I was the hype man for my pop.
Well, you're a great man, and it was so much fun to talk to you and hang out with you for a little bit. And now I understand now that you actually have a Halloween joke. Now you know that my father appears on this show every Monday morning at 4:45 a.m. and tells a joke. He's been doing this last one that he did. Check this out. The last one that he did was his 231st joke on my show.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I heard it. Dana played that for me. She just played it for me tonight.
Oh, she did.
I said, well, then I'm going to have to come up with some kind of ridiculous joke. So
okay.
I did.
All right. Here we go.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
In view of the Halloween spirit, why didn't the skeleton go to the dance?
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance?
Because he didn't have anybody to go with.
All right.
There you go.
I mean, you're making a laugh. I can't help. I like literally can't help but laugh at my dad's joke.
It's funny.
It's not terrible.
No, it's funny.
You know what? Your dad and my dad would be friends. So when their father-in-law's in-law, wait, what would you be?
Yeah.
What would he be to you? What would they be to each other?
They would be in-laws. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I guess there's no word for that.
Yeah.
Well, then they could just sit there and tell their terrible jokes.
That being outlaws.
Oh, my God. Did you hear him?
No. What did he say?
He goes, better than being outlaws. Hit the drums again, Nick. Come on.
Here, hold
on. Don't laugh. He's on the verge of... Oh, my God. He is cracking himself up. Okay. All right. You're going. I'm taking off speaker. I'm back to my childhood bedroom because... Dad, I can't find your Cleveland Browns thing, so you have to we just got DVR in this house for the first time, because you know why? My dad uses VHS tapes, everybody.
Oh, good.
That's why. And so we're trying to find something we're trying to find this Browns thing, and I can't find it. So,
uh-oh.
There.
All right.
You know what I mean? Oh, I know. It's big trouble. But see what I mean? My dad always takes away my thunder. He's like the star of every show. He's still laughing at himself downstairs. Honestly, he loves it. But, I thank you for that. Made his night. He needed a little shot in the arm. Thank you.
It was fantastic. It was a great joke. You mentioned people dressing up like you at these conventions. Does that freak you out ever?
Oh no, quite the opposite. I mean. First of all, it's like I get I'm what freaks what the only freaking out that usually happens is me freaking out my fans because I'm so intense and so long winded that they're honestly the ones that are like, okay, so nice to meet you. You can let go of my hand now, Dana. Like, I swear to God, I told you that. I told you that in person, too. Like, it's just, I'm so excited when anyone even attempts to do anything for the show, let alone cosplay me. But when they, like, really get it, I like this one girl and, like, Gretchen, the 13-year-old who, like, had my actual outfit. I just get so excited. I really do. Because, I mean, look, I mean, it's still very surreal to me. Because, like, when you know, it's not like you're a rock star and you're going on a stage and you're selling out arenas where you can see and feel and experience your fans in a large way that you realize, like, oh, people are listening to my music.
Yeah.
You go and you film it and, you know, then you're like, you know, doing your laundry and taking out your trash. And if you're like me, tripping over sidewalks in your own 2 feet. And so then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, am I on TV? People are actually know who my character is? That's exciting. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's truly an honor, and I'm humbled every time, and I get so excited. And I welcome anybody to keep doing it. It thrills me. I've gotten a few this weekend, and there was one that just made me laugh so hard because it was so serious. It was Ash and Kelly, mm-hmm. who was a husband and wife.
Uh-huh.
And I retweeted it and said, please make this your happy holidays card.
Oh, I did. I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. I did.
I mean, it just tickles me. So, yeah, that's why, Nick, when you dressed as me.
Yeah.
You know, and your hair could have been a little longer, but it was perfect. It was fine. It was great. Maybe could have used a little bit more lipstick. Just saying. Just a little bit more of a pop of a lip. But it thrilled me. I squeal.
Yeah.
Is that weird? Is that lame?
No.
I don't care.
No. No. It's not. It's not weird. Dana, hang on, okay?
Well, if you insist.
I do. Okay. Dana DiLorenzo is with us, and she's the best. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk more. We'll talk some scary movies and all kinds of other really cool stuff with my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo. Coming up next here on 720 WEJ. Friday the 13th, man. Uh-oh. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN on our annual Halloween Spooktacular, and we're here until 5 a.m. A lot more Halloween-related stuff that we're going to be talking about. If you want to jump in at any time, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200, that's for talk and text. My guest right now is Dana DiLorenzo, who's been on the show many, many times. And she's my future ex-wife, and we love having her on. Dana, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. But you just gave out your number. So, like, are you texting other people? I thought this was exclusive.
No. You're the only one that I text, Dana. That's it.
Okay, that's what I thought, because that's what you told me. And that's what Dan told me, too. So unless he's in on it, then I mean...
No.
Well, you have to say for yourself. See, he's being very silent because he knows that that's what he told me.
Hey, Dana,
I'm not the one sneaking around my dad to talk to my future ex-husband.
I don't really, that doesn't even make sense, Dan. So hold your jealousy back a little bit, because sneaking around would be me like whispering in my garage outside or my porch. I literally just said to my dad, hey, this is Nick DiGilio. You met him. He's my future ex-husband. He told you, what are you talking about? Dan, calm down. Okay. I'm not even there with him. All right. You're in the same room. Everything's fine. It's all fine. I won't step on your toes, buddy. Okay.
Fine.
So, hey, we text back and forth, talk to each other quite frequently, as you know, as future.
Calm down. We don't need to tell everybody.
No, I know, but I told you that I just recently started watching the audio commentary that you guys did for season 3. I just got season 3 on DVD. Recently, so I popped it in and I was watching the audio commentary, and I know that you don't remember, you said you don't remember really what you said or what they used, but let me just assure you that you're great on those audio commentaries. You are very, very great.
Even know what you mean, though. I'm not, like, this is no BS. I literally have no idea what you're talking about, because I feel like you're pulling my leg.
I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not pulling your leg.
I just don't understand what I would have said, because also, Nick, you've talked to me enough to know that I just never know how to put a period at the end of a sentence.
Right.
So either someone does a really spot on possession of me, or there is some master editor that I need to meet.
It was it was you and Tappert, Lucy Lawless, and Ray and it was the episode where you and Lucy Lawless get into that insane fight with the shotgun and the whole, and you guys were just, all you guys were doing was just talking about how much fun it was and how cool it was, and it was really infectious that you got, you know, in the conversation, and you guys were cracking each other up. It was just really entertaining.
Oh, well, that makes me happy. Yeah, anytime, I mean, in that case, like, yeah, now you're jogging my memory a little bit. Anytime, you know, Lucy is in the room, I just, yeah, it's infectious. She has the greatest laugh.
Yeah.
And even though it's, you know, a lot of work and you know, I absolutely hit Lucy Lawless in the face during that scene. And then I started crying.
Yep.
You know, she took it like a champ, and like, it just, she's become one of my dearest, I don't know, people in my life. And I cannot say enough about that woman. So we actually, what you were hearing was, you know, after the fact, we were seeing it for the first time because we recorded those before they aired.
Oh, okay.
And so we were, it was very much news to us being able to like really see the episode. And so we were, I think that's what the infection is.
Yeah.
No, such a word exists.
No, you could tell, you could tell you guys were having a blast recording that and having a blast watching it. And it was infectious. You know what I mean? Like I was watching it and I started laughing and I just thought it was great. And,
that makes me happy. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nick. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Okay. So, Dana, have I ever introduced you to Count Fartula?
Definitely not, because I would remember that.
Well,
so
I
be introduced?
I have my two friends that are with me for every Halloween season on the show, and it's Count Fartula and Fartenstein, and they are plush toys that when you squeeze their finger, they do stuff like this.
Open the coffin! Let me out!
See? That's how mature I am.
You know what? I just find that that's a boy thing. Like, every guy I know, like, my brother, to this day, will literally be like, hey, Dad, I got something to tell you.
Oh,
like, what?
And then,
you know, just come in my bedroom, like, when we're home at Christmas or whatever,
yeah,
and just flirt for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like gotten terrible as an adult. And so like, he thinks it's the funniest thing. He's like a 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
Like, are we so past this though? But I think it's a dude thing.
It is.
But
I think it is
funny.
Too.
I'm glad that they're your friends.
Yeah, they
are. Thank you for not bringing them when we hung out. I'm glad that they were not invited to our, our party.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been cool.
No. That would have been a 1 hour hangout instead of a six.
You know, as you know, we had a pretty interesting conversation about the impact that The Exorcist had on you. Now, I saw that movie. I was eight. I was 8 years old when I saw it.
Geez.
Yeah, and I saw it in the theater at eight. And so,
wait, who took you to see it when you were eight?
My dad.
Your dad, like your mom was okay with that?
No. This is a whole. I think I told you the story. My mom found out about it like 40 years later because it was a secret.
I was setting you up so you could tell the story.
Oh, you were setting me up. Oh, okay.
Oh, Jesus.
I've told the story. I've told the story before. People know the story.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to hear it again, but that's okay.
Okay.
Fine. Your mom just found out that all
she
those
found
years
out a few years,
ago. Years earlier.
Yeah, she found out a few years ago that my dad and she was mad at my dad. Like, this happened when the movie came out.
Obviously.
She was mad at my father.
If I was your mom, I'd be mad. Of course she would be mad.
But, you know, The Exorcist, you saw The Exorcist at a pretty impressionable age, too. And it had a big impact on you, right?
It did. I was, I think it was, like, the first true horror film I had seen. Because I was really into Goosebumps. I think I started reading those at, like, nine or ten. So when I was 12... I was watching this show on Nickelodeon. I'm going to age myself, but I don't care. I was watching the show on Nickelodeon called Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yep.
And I was obsessed with it.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I think I talked to you about that just real quick. I have to just interject this because it just happened in Minnesota at the Mall of America. Do you remember that I said to this day, I don't know if it was the very first episode. I don't remember where it was in the lineup, but it's one episode that as an adult, I still have nightmares about. On Are You Afraid of the Dark, where you are trapped in a mall and then all of the mannequins and things come to life, and like you never get out. Like, this kid is in the mall for the rest of his life, and just like as soon as he defeats all the demons, and it's like a pinball machine in a mall, but then he realizes he's stuck inside the pinball machine inside the mall and has to every day try and not die.
Oh my God.
It's like crazy. Yeah, no, right, for a kid show. Are you ready for this? I had an honest like PTSD moment, and I just to talk to you about it. When it was there was like one restaurant in Minnesota near where we were that was open. It was in the Mall of America, and everything was closed, and everything inside the mall looked exactly like the TV show.
Anyway, I have to tell you this, Dana. I've been to the Mall of America once, and it scared the hell out of me. I was terrified while I was in there. My first ex-wife, her brother lived in Minnesota, so we went up to visit him, and we went to the Mall of America. And I'm not good in malls. I'm not. I'm not good in malls. I just, when I go in to buy something, I go in, I buy it, and I get the hell out. And obviously, you've been to the Mall of America. It's the biggest mall in the world, and it's terrifying.
Well, just that moment. Well, but like I was the only. I'm going to be honest. The only thing I've seen of it was after hours when no one was there.
Right.
And it was just beelining to get to this one restaurant that was open, so I could eat at like 11 o'clock at night before I had to get up for the convention the next day. Nick, I was honest to God. I was so terrified. It was truly, I was like, I was just talking. I told my friend Chuck, I was like, I was just talking about this. This is like, I swear to God, this was a setup by Nick or something. Like, it just revealed to you that that is one of my greatest fears.
Here's another freaky thing. We go to the Mall of America, and I'm freaking out. There's a roller coaster in the middle of the place. It's terrifying.
I didn't even see any of that. Okay, I didn't see any of that. But
so,
go ahead.
So we decide we're going to go to a movie, you know, at this point. We're just going to go. I can't take this. I'm tense. Let's go to a movie. And we went to go see Seven.
And so, you know what? Nothing says a good spa day like Seven. You want a head massage?
Oh, my God.
That's what we got.
And so that added to it. And when we got out of the movie, that like you, Dana, most of the places were closed because we went to the movie in the evening. So when we got out, then I was like, I got to get the hell out of this place, man. This is scarier than the Mall in Dawn of the Dead. I can't even be in here.
I'm literally like grunting and screaming of how uncomfortable this makes me, which is funny because somehow we started talking about The Exorcist and it turned out at the Mall of America. So to answer your question,
yes.
Look, I always bring it back though, Nick. I might be tangential, but I always bring it back.
That's right.
Might be 10 days later, but I do. So I answer your thing. You saw The Exorcist at 8. Piggybacking on this, I really had some strange fascination with horror as a kid. So my parents, being the Italian Catholic parents they are, I think I was 12. They argue I was older, but okay, I'm going to say 12 because that's how I remember it. Put on The Exorcist, and it was truly, obviously, the most terrifying, but the most fascinating thing I'd ever seen. And it always stayed with me because I was. At least they said I was the age that Linda Blair was when she played that role when I watched it. And I had wanted, you know, at this point I had a whole 9 years of wanting to be an actor. So I just was so blown away that someone my age at the time could have played a role like this. It just blew my mind. I just couldn't even comprehend it. So at these conventions, I always seem to like bump into her in the elevator, and she always says something to me that then catches me off guard, like a normal comment, just a normal comment, like, "Oh hey, I like your bag," and I'm like, I like green beans, I'm just such an idiot. Like, it's not even funny though, and like I tried to talk to her handler to apologize to her. She's like, can you just tell her that I'm really sorry? And she was like, well, you should just tell her. And I was like, no, I really don't think I can because I can't even explain and like how much she means to me and how I've always held a candle for her. And da, da, da. And so then I told you about the time that I tried and massively failed, man. Oh, God. Just so everybody knows, like, you know, when people talk about getting starstruck, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, who it is. If they mean something to you, and you were probably, unless you're like cool, which I'm not, you will probably you know, be an idiot. And I definitely, man, I avoided her at every convention since, because I was like, I was just such an idiot. Well, I couldn't even, I was more long-winded than I am on your show, so feel bad for her. You know what I mean? She had to sit there and pretend to be interested. And I swear to God, I saw her glaze over. And, like, you're getting that signal.
Yeah.
You're like, Dana, okay, you probably never do, because you're very concise and you're very entertaining. Nick, as I've told you, you're very good at talking. You should do radio. Anyway, I did do radio. That's probably why I ain't there anymore. And she was glazed. I just saw the glaze that I get from even my own parents. And I was like, Dana, abort, abort, abort. And what do? Just keep digging the hole. Yeah. Going. So, like, so what is that like for you, man? That was me.
Wow. So
bad for me.
Listen, Dana, so Ash vs. Evil Dead, all three of the seasons are now available on DVD if people want to get them. You've got a movie that's going to be coming out next year called Friendsgiving. And that you play Kat Dennings' sister in that, correct?
I do, and it's probably one of the funniest things I've ever been able to be a part of, and I have it's just so funny. It brings up the Italian Jersey culture. Kat Dennings is a Jersey girl. I'm a sister. The people that they cast as our mom and our aunt, our Uncle Sal, all those things. It's just perfect. But it's in the way that funny. In the way that My Cousin Vinny was, it's not cliche. It's actually, like, very fresh and very, very relatable in the sense of, like, yes, like, you know, Thanksgiving. It's about two women who are friends who are both separately going through a breakup around a holiday, being Thanksgiving, which is a nightmare, right, when you go through that.
Yeah.
But so then it's about getting together with your friends because you're like, oh, they're friends. There's a lot less dysfunction in the dysfunctional family and a lot more fun. But it also can, it doesn't necessarily make that true.
Right.
It's a lot of shenanigans, a lot of fun, and I'm super excited about it.
Right.
Supposedly next Thanksgiving it'll be out for sure.
All right, cool. And everybody can follow you at I'm Dana DiLorenzo on the Twitter, right? And you're on the Facebook as well.
I am on the Facebook as Nick DiGilio's future ex-husband.
That's right.
Wait, I said ex-husband.
Yes. Well,
see how I did that there?
That was perfect.
You know what, Dan? That was for you, buddy. Dan, that was for you.
Oh boy, Dana! Always a pleasure. It's always too quick when you and I are hanging out and. So we'll get
Not for anybody else, but for you and I, yes, always too
much. So
we'll get you. Tell her to shut up.
We'll get you on again soon. Whatever's happening, in your career and any of that stuff, you've got a home here to talk about it anytime you want. You know that.
And you know I love you for that, and you've been so supportive, and I adore you, and I'm giving you a big hug and a kiss from close in the Midwest to you. And I wish you a happy 21st anniversary. Happy Halloween. I can't wait to see what you dress as.
Okay, great. And get back to Chicago.
I
know you just left Chicago, but you need to come back again soon.
Well, if you have a place for me to stay, I'm in. I guess I should show you my costume. I'm dressing as you.
Okay.
So you would love it.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
I grew my 5 o'clock shadow just for you.
Good.
And just I coiffed it perfectly for you.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that. All right. Dana, my best to you. My best to your dad, too, okay? And tell him thanks for the joke.
I will tell him.
Okay.
I will. Thank you so much, my baby.
Okay, Dana. Take care. There you go.
All right.
Dana DiLorenzo. I love her so much. It makes me crazy. It's my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo. Always adds a lot of fun to whenever you have her on, and I wanted to have her on for Halloween because of her connection to Halloween and all that cool stuff, and she's just the best. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.